Life is much easier if you will live what it is you believe. So it follows that it would be helpful if you knew what it was that you believed. So each week we have an affirmation of our faith at Daleville Christian Church, and this one comes from the letter to Titus in the third chapter. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. God's word for today is from the letter to the churches in the ancient area of Galatia. The letter to the Galatians, chapter 5, verses 16 through 18 and verses 22 through 25, although you're welcome to read straight through verses 16 through 25. Sometimes I amend those for the reading to help us focus where our focus should be. Galatians 5, 16 through 18, and then 22 through 25. So I say, writes the Apostle Paul, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. May the Lord add His blessing to this reading of His holy word. I confess that today's sermon was a difficult one for me. I got angry and then I got depressed. The topic for today is the gift of the Holy Spirit, since we celebrate today as Pentecost, often referred to as the birthday of the Church of Jesus, because the Lord gave the Holy Spirit to the believers, and it happened, as reported in the book of Acts, on a festival day of the Jews, Pentecost, in the city of Jerusalem. The topic for today is the gift of the Holy Spirit, but especially the gift of kindness. So why would this topic depress me? Can't you guess? There is so little kindness in our country today. Even among those who claim to be faithful followers of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There is so little kindness in our country today, even among those who claim to be faithful followers of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But perhaps we can understand some of the forces at work to prevent or subvert demonstrations of kindness today. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, whose coming we celebrate today, we can be more diligent in demonstrating kindness and growing in kindness. First of all, the Bible itself presents some challenges to our understanding of kindness. The word kindness appears in the Bible over 50 times. Kindness appears in the New Testament only 11 times. And the word translated kindness is not just one word. Luke, the author of Luke, the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, and the book of Acts, uses three different words, and they're all translated into English as kindness. You might be interested to learn that one of Luke's words is philanthropia, which we get the word philanthropy. It's a type of kindness, isn't it? Praise the Lord, the Apostle Paul is more consistent in his use of the Greek word translated kindness. Paul uses pretty much one Greek word for kindness. The word is krestotes. I'm not going to quiz you on that, but it isn't like any word we use in English. And there in the sermon notes for you are all the places where Paul's use of the word krestotes is translated as kindness. What we do want to notice is that Paul talks about God's kindness to us and our kindness to others using the very same word. We do want to notice that Paul talks about God's kindness to us and our kindness to others using the very same word. So in the language Paul uses, we are to treat others with God's kindness, not some human version of kindness, but God's kindness, which we are empowered to do by the Holy Spirit. We are to treat others with God's kindness, which we are empowered to share by the Holy Spirit. So if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you can't demonstrate God's kindness. Without the Holy Spirit, you may participate and you can act with some form of human kindness, but without the Holy Spirit, it would not be possible to truly demonstrate God's kindness. Are we clear on that? Let me put it another way. Because you have the Holy Spirit and the Bible says that you do, you and I are privileged to be able to demonstrate God's kindness. You and I are privileged to be able to demonstrate God's kindness. We can participate in God's kindness to others. We can share God's kindness to others. And you've been given the Holy Spirit's power to do so. This week, Daleville Christian Church helped another family who had gotten behind on their bills. Again, it was a medical emergency that prevented them from having enough money to pay their bills. And I said, as I usually do when we are able to help a family, we're not good people here at Daleville Christian Church, but Jesus makes us do good things. And I laughed and I added, Jesus is making us look good. We can participate in God's kindness to others. We can share God's kindness to others. And you've been given the power of the Holy Spirit to do so. So what's the problem? Well, we as a culture, as American society, we do not value kindness, do we? Nice guys finish last. We all know the end of that statement. Every one of us knows nice guys finish last. And we have been taught that nice people finish last, and if there's one thing Americans hate more than second place, it's finishing last. In our culture, if you are last, you are a loser. I'm almost certain that we are the only society where people in second place will get depressed because they finished second. Sometimes I will remind people, second place you realize it was a national championship that hundreds of other teams would love to be in your place to be in that game. But not Americans. We won't even remember you if you become vice president. Even though we describe that often as the second highest office in the free world and a heartbeat away from presidents. But I dare you to name five vice presidents, and not the ones who replaced assassinated presidents. We want the ones who were elected to vice president. You can't do it. So if we believe that nice people finish last, why would anyone want to be kind? And remember our Lord Jesus' words, if you love people who already love you, what credit is that to you? If you're kind to people who have already been kind to you, do we expect that that's the Holy Spirit at work? Jesus says even the pagans can do that. No, Americans like words like determined, unstoppable, fearless, focused. And we would love the word indefatigable if we only knew what it meant. It means a tireless persistence. Wonderful word, indefatigable. And there isn't anything wrong with those qualities. It's just that kindness is not among them. We like kindness, but we don't want to have to prove it. We like the word committed, but we don't usually tell people to be committed to kindness. Kindness is something many Christians think they can just take or leave, but that isn't what the Bible says. The musical Hair called American society out with the song, "Easy to Be Hard." The song says, "How can people be so heartless? How can people be so cruel? Easy. Easy to be hard. Easy to be cold." The road to hell is an easy road to take. That's why Jesus said, "How narrow is the gate, and difficult the road that leads to life, and few find it." If it is indeed easy to be hard and cold, then that means that followers of Jesus have to work to be kind. Now, sometimes we misinterpret kindness, and I have an example. I have a friend that I frequently compliment because they do good work. And my friend will almost always say, "You are kind." So I've been accused of being kind. But I am not kind in that instance. When I am telling my friend, when I say that they do good work, I'm telling my friend the truth. Americans rarely believe that the truth is kind, but I insist that I am simply expressing a true fact about my friend. What do we call the truth in America? We call it inconvenient, or we say, "I had an unpleasant realization." And one comic said, "All realizations are unpleasant. They're all like that." Jesus believed that the truth was freeing, and that the truth was good news. So what is kindness? Perhaps my friend believes that the fact that I express the truth is a kindness to them. But is it? I'm pretty sure many would disagree, especially if you would ask a friend what they think about your weight or what you're wearing. In these cases, we believe that the truth might, hurt. So what is kindness? A word the Old Testament uses for the word kindness can also be translated as mercy. Mercy is a consideration for the condition and needs of the neighbor and the rest of humanity. At least that's what a believer's mercy is to be. A believer's mercy is a consideration for the condition and needs of the neighbor and the rest of humanity. To respond to the needs of others is a mercy. It's a kindness. What the prophets often call down Israel for is the lack of mercy, the lack of kindness. We've talked about Jesus' mercy before. We see Jesus' mercy in rendering aid. Paul described kindness as the riches of gifts given by God. We declared in our statement of faith, when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared to us. So working to help people, to build people up, supplying them so that they can do good for others, these are kindnesses. To make a point, kindness is the result of the Holy Spirit's presence. The apostle states in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, as God's chosen people and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with kindness. Wow. Clothe yourselves in kindness. Show it outwardly. Let it be seen. And the verb form is a command. Clothe yourselves with kindness. Put it on. Wear it. Not in order to show it off, because really that's pretty hard to do. But show kindness to others and give God the glory. Jesus makes us look good. And if we are clothed in kindness, it is not momentary, is it? We don't wear clothes for a moment and then take them off. We wear clothes all day long. And then we wear night clothes. We're always clothed. Clothe yourself in kindness. Wear it, says the apostle. Let me make a contrast and do a little teaching here. We live in a time of increasing rudeness. Rudeness, even cruelty. Studies show that rudeness spreads like a virus. If you walk into a crowded room and act or speak rudely to one person in that room, and the others in the room hear you or see you, it's very likely that everyone in that room will be rude later in the day. The witnesses will be more aggressive and perform worse at their jobs. People study this stuff. There's only one way to stop that rudeness, and that's to stop it. You may have to speak up without anger and without rudeness. Speak quietly for consideration and say, please do not do that again. Please consider the rest of us here. Please have some consideration. But kindness is a better response to the rudeness. But only Spirit-filled Christians have any hope of responding with kindness. Now, having said that, one of the problems with kindness in a results-driven economy, a results-driven society, is that you may not see any results from your kind behavior. Your kind words, your kind actions, we may never see the results. And that's another problem for Americans, is that we love results. Show me the money. Kindness doesn't get results for Americans. We who love results. Kindness, however, does get results. And the results that kindness brings may be deeper and richer than we imagine. Our Lord Jesus said, and if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. What Americans often want, including American Christians, is to see what the fruit of the Spirit will nourish. But we're not promised that. That's what Jesus said. Your kindness will be rewarded. You won't lose the reward. Lose it. We can't be sure of what it is. Our culture does have another phrase that we favor, and it may be helpful here. We can talk about paying it forward. We may not be able to return a favor or a kindness, but as we already mentioned, even pagans can do that. They can return a kindness and they can return a favor. What Christians want to do is to be kind, especially to those who cannot repay. What Christians want to do is let people borrow a Kleenex, right? Because you don't really want the Kleenex back, right? But people are often in need of Kleenexes, so it's a kindness to give them a Kleenex when they need one. Kindness does get results, and the results that kindness brings may be deeper and richer than we imagine. But once in a while, you may hear about it, the results of kindness. Like the woman who found herself in a hospital following the birth of her son, Tyler. Tyler was very sick with a blockage in his small intestine. Although he was a healthy weight at birth, he began to quickly lose weight, throwing up every feeding. Sometimes this will happen with newborns. Last week I mentioned mom guilt, and Lauren, Tyler's mom, was deep into mom guilt. What had she done wrong? Was there something she could have done? Would her new baby boy be okay? She and her husband were sleepless as baby Tyler began his hospitalization. Amid the turmoil of feelings in the hospital, Lauren remembers the calm reassurance provided by the nurses who were caring for her little baby around the clock. Lauren says, "I watched the nurses care for Tyler like he was their own." It was then that Lauren decided that she wanted to do for others and do for someone else's child as these nurses had provided for her child. So 6 months after Tyler left the hospital and the surgery that corrected Tyler's problem, Lauren quit her management job in business and enrolled in nursing school. Before Tyler finished first grade, Lauren was a nurse in the same hospital Tyler was rescued in. She now can give the calm reassurance she was provided for when Tyler was a hospitalized newborn. Some of the cynics among us might say, "Yeah, but nurses are paid to do that." Friends, no, they are not. You can't buy kindness at any price. You can buy functions and you can buy labor, but you can't buy kindness and caring. That's what the salespeople call value-added pricing. There were two assistants at my orthodontist's office growing up. My sister and I always wanted the redhead, not the brunette. Why? They both gave the same efficient care, both were fully functional, both were, as far as we could tell, equally skilled, but we would have chosen the redhead every time. Why? Because the brunette worked on your teeth like she was angry with your teeth. She seemed to be wrestling with our teeth, and that she was afraid the teeth would win. The redhead was calm, gentle. It was a kindness that redhead provided. If I ever would see that brunette today, and she's no doubt retired if she continued in that work, But if I saw her, I would ask her, what were you so angry about while you were working on my teeth? Trouble at home? Financial problems? Relationship problems? Friends, the apostle wrote, one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is kindness. Clothe yourselves in kindness. Wear it. Jesus can help you do that. Jesus can make us look good. Wear it well. Amen.